To talk about today, and that is table fellowship. What do we mean by that? Well, if in a Christian concept you talk about table fellowship, you probably would think about this table right here, would you not? This is the communion table. The word fellowship is from the same Greek word as the word communion. And so whenever we think about the Lord's communion, this is what we think about. This is the Lord's table. This is the place where fellowship is found. But I want us today to recognize and to emphasize and maybe to remind us of some things we already know, and that is there is another table that is directly related to Christianity and has nothing at all to do with this table. And it is specified and taught by the Lord. And so we as the children of God need to recognize that there is another table that the Lord wants us to assemble around. But it is not just this table. And that's when we talk about table fellowship and begin to go from there, we need to have an appreciation of what we're talking about. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. And that's interesting. Tied to verse 1 is verse 2. And they're interrelated. And so there is that brotherhood that we have. There is that commonness that we have. There is that communion that we have. There is, the Greek word is koinonia. There is that fellowship. And so the Hebrew writer says, have brotherly love. Do not forget to entertain. Do not forget to entertain. Now, all of a sudden, we're not talking about this table. We're talking about another kind of table. We're talking about that table that's found in our homes. And the Bible says, do not forget to entertain. And then the amazing thing is the word strangers. You see, Jesus talked about when you have guests in your home, you need not just to invite those you expect to invite you back. You need to invite others, invite those who cannot reciprocate necessarily. And so the verse says, do not forget to entertain strangers. For some, unwittingly, without knowing it, by entertaining strangers, have entertained angels. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine inviting somebody into your home and at the end of that visit, or maybe even after that, they've departed, there is the realization of the fact that I was in the presence of an angel. Now, we'll talk about a little bit later the two specific incidents. Do you know both of them? Two times whenever there were individuals who entertained people in their homes and they were entertaining angels. And so whenever we begin to talk about this matter of table fellowship, we come to use a word that we may understand better, and that is hospitality. Children ought to understand, children of God need to understand what the memory verse says, and that is be hospitable one to another. It's interesting to look at this concept of being hospitable. It is from a Greek word that has within it the word love, but it's not the word agape. It's the other word for love. It has to do with the matter of your emotions. You remember we've talked about the two Greek words, primary Greek words. One of them has to do with the matter of your intellect. The other has to do with the matter of your emotions. And so tied to this matter of hospitality is an emotional aspect of it. It's not just some sort of legalistic kind of thing. Well, the Lord said I ought to have somebody over the house. It's not that at all. There is an emotional aspect of this, and it's not an emotional of regret and I just wish they weren't coming. That's an emotion in and of itself. But it is the concept of the word love. It is something that needs to be a part of our life because we enjoy doing it. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, then you need to make some changes. You need to understand the fact that God made us in a particular way and says, now, Here's the way that you ought to be. You need to enjoy being with people. And so the statement is, one way to do this is to entertain strangers. And that's why that verse that we read in the beginning is tied to the matter of brotherly love. And so here's this matter of brotherly love that begins to be expressed in the way that our homes are found. Now, just so you'll know the direction that we're headed in this lesson, there are four things we want to talk about. We want to understand that hospitality is commanded of God. We then want to talk about the fact that it is a part of daily living. It's not just something that's commanded of God, that it just becomes a part of the way we are because our hearts have been changed because we've been with Jesus. And then we want to look at some biblical examples of hospitality and then talk about a program that we're going to have here at Palm Beach Lakes this month that is tied to the matter of hospitality. Now, sometimes when you begin to talk about the commands of God, sometimes people say, oh me, this is such a legalistic aspect. But you understand this? The Bible says His commands are not grievous. That's amazing. Sometimes we look at them, but that's not the intent of them. The commands that God gives to us are designed to help us walk in the direction in which we ought to go. And so as we began thinking about whatever God commands us to do, sometimes the chastening of the Lord for the moment may seem unpleasant. But we need to understand and appreciate the fact that when you begin to talk about the commands of God, it ought not to be a burden that comes upon us, but an understanding that the God of heaven says, now you want to be happy on this earth? You want to live the kind of life that'll be the fulfilling kind of life? Here's the kinds of things that ought to be in your heart and in your life. Look quickly at some of these verses. Romans chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, and we've already looked at this, do not forget to entertain strangers. God could not have made it any more obvious that that's what He expects of us. Now look at another verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, that we ought to be distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Are we? When you begin to think about your life and the way you regard the things that you have, is it mine and I'm going to enjoy it and I don't have any desire to share it with anybody? Is that an attitude that we have toward the possessions that we have? Christianity says that which we have may be that which others need, and we need to be given to hospitality. It's interesting whenever this expression is used in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, and also in the book of Titus where it's used in relationship to elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 talks about being hospitable. In Titus it says, given to hospitality. And I love to look at that word given because it's also used later in that statement about the qualification of an elder, and that is, he cannot be given to much wine in relationship to deacons. Now, you understand what it means to be given to wine? You know what it means to be given to much wine? Oh yeah, he's addicted to it. Well, here is that same English word that is used to describe the way that we ought to be, and that is, we ought to be given to hospitality. Romans chapter 12 makes it generic, and 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 makes it an absolute qualification for a man that's going to be an elder in the church. Those who are leaders in the church, those elders in the church, need to be those who are at the forefront, leading us in showing us what it means to be hospitable. And so, We need to understand how important it is. In fact, look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and you find this same concept again of the kind of widows that the church should be obligated to help. Now, they can help any widows like they can help any Christian. But 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that there were a group of widows in the first century who were enrolled, who became the primary responsibility of the church because they didn't have family to take care of them. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, if she has children or grandchildren or nephews, they need to assume that responsibility. For if a man provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. But what about that woman who's a widow indeed, who does not have children or grandchildren to provide for her? So there are these qualifications. And a part of the qualification is she must be well reported of good works if she's brought up children, if she has lodged strangers. There's hospitality. If she's washed the saints' feet, if she's relieved the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work. A part, you see, of the life of this godly woman who is now a widow that the church has an obligation is that she has been exemplary in her life in using her homes in the right way, lodging strangers and relieving the afflicted. And so as you begin to think about the matter of hospitality, there becomes this added responsibility that God places and calls attention to on those who are widows. And I think you and I recognize that the primary, I don't want to say reason, maybe that's not the word I'm looking for, but that the decision as to whether a home is hospitable or is not hospitable oftentimes lies in the choices that the wife makes. Because the burden on her would be far greater in relationship to the matter of hospitality, in the matter of fellowship. Now, I recognize the world is changing and men do dishes and they change diapers. I do understand all of that. But the reality is, in a practical way, that the decision oftentimes, most of the time, as to whether a home is given to hospitality is made and influenced more by the influence of the wife than by the husband himself. And so when we read about this older woman, a thing that should have characterized her life is that she should have been that individual who has been using her home, lodging people there and helping individuals in that respect. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is a dying grace among Christians. In spite of the fact that 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, do you know that memory verse yet? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. You want to look at those last two words? Be hospitable without grumbling. You see, Christianity is something that is designed not to place burdens upon us, but designed to bring joy to us. And if we do not understand and appreciate these things, we will miss one of the joys that God has given to us. And so he says, now when you're showing hospitality, let it come out of your heart. Do it without grumbling. Now, there are all kinds of examples of this in the Bible. There's one in 1 John chapter, there's only one chapter in 1 John. Look at a sort of an illustration of it, and I almost put this verse in that next section when we began to talk about it. But John says, beloved, you do faithfully what you do for the brethren and for strangers. And so here is this individual that John addresses this book to, and he says, here is that which characterizes your life. People can just trust on you to do this. You faithfully do these things for the brethren. And they, in turn, have borne witness of your love before the church. They've talked about what you have done for them. And so he says, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And so here was this individual to whom John addresses this book, and a part of his life was that he had used whatever God had given him for brethren and for strangers, and by sharing that which he had, he was sharing in the very work that they were doing. Now let's look quickly at some examples of make the point first that it ought to be a part of daily life. And I think that goes without saying. We'll not spend much time at all looking at it. But it is not something that, well, I need to do this once or twice a year. The concept of this that is within our hearts is it's a lifestyle for us. But it's a dying situation. I recognize the world has changed, and I recognize that years ago there were always community churches. And, you know, 50 years ago everybody lived within 3 miles of the building. You know, you remember that, and that explains a lot of times when you go in other places, there's a church every 5 miles down the highway. And that in and of itself allowed these kinds of things to happen. But that has not always been that way. I remember when I first came to Palm Beach Lakes, people used to talk about the fact that they'd have Sunday lunch together. It was just a part of their life. And, of course, hardly anybody cooks Sunday lunch anymore. But they would say, well, you just come over to the house. Well, I've cooked a roast. I've got it ready. You go by the house and pick up your vegetables and come on over to the house and we'll sit down and spend this afternoon together. I recognize that world has changed. But we need to understand that the need for hospitality may not have changed, and it has not changed. And the manifestation of it may have changed. It's far more common for individuals to go out and, let me buy your lunch today. Let's go up to Wendy's and let's spend some time together today. And there, that the world has changed, so that in and of itself has become a part of the way that we share that which God has given to us. But the point is that we need to make it a part of our soul so that we do it without grumbling. We enjoy doing it and we miss it when we're not doing it. That's the whole point of it in relationship to this. Let's quickly look at some examples of hospitality in the Bible. There are several of these examples. We need to be aware of the fact that angels went to some people's home. You know the occasion of that. You remember whenever these three people came to Abraham's house, and he had no idea that it was the Lord or the angels of the Lord that were there. No idea whatsoever. I love reading that story because he goes out and he kills an animal and says, by the way, Sarah, roast this animal. These folks are going to stay. I've in my imagination, tried to think about that's not one of these put it in the microwave kinds of situation. But they were there. It was a part of the life of Abraham. Can you think of somebody else who did that same kind of thing? What if I say Abraham's nephew? What if I say the very next chapter? These angels appear in Sodom and they go into the house of Lot, not knowing they're angels. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that the Bible has this story in it, and it may have it within it for a specific purpose. And that is to emphasize to us that we may never know the joy and the blessing that is there. Sometimes you may want to think about, well, does God still do this? And that'll be your own thoughts in relationship to that. Think of the emphasis in the Old Testament to the matter of the strangers. You remember the fact when they harvested their crop, they were not able to go back and the second time go back and whatever they'd missed the first time. They were not allowed to harvest the corners of their fields. Why? Because that was for the strangers. And all the way through the Old Testament, there is an emphasis on the fact that the Jews were to be kind to strangers, for there were to be those Gentiles that were living among them. And then he says, you need to remember that you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. And those of us who have enjoyed the hospitality of other people need to learn that lesson. That because they had been strangers and had been kindly treated by some, or at least longed to be kindly entreated by some, then those of us who have been the recipients of hospitality need to understand that we have an obligation. We need to remember that very same thing. You think about Elijah and Elisha. You remember the house that was prepared, built a special room on the house so the prophet might come. And what about Elijah when he went up to Zarephath? And there is that widow that's up there and has one last meal. She's out getting two sticks of wood to cook the one last meal so she and her son could die, and yet she opened up her home to the prophet of God. Hospitality. Think about how many times you read about Jesus going in the homes of others. You know, one of the criticisms made of Jesus was that he was a glutton. It's a false charge. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton, but it does show that Jesus enjoyed eating with people. Did he not eat, didn't he have 5,000 men at his house at one time? The feeding of the multitude. And then again, there's the 4,000. Jesus recognized, he said to his disciples that we've got to get some food for these individuals. It was a part of the way he walked. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to dine with you. And now he went into the home of Simon the leper and he ate there. That's where the woman broke the alabaster box of ointment and placed it upon his head. Jesus was in the home. What about Jesus being the home of Mary and Martha? What about Jesus being accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners? What about Jesus after his resurrection preparing a meal for the disciples? Jesus enjoyed being with people. Now, folks, if we're going to be Christ-like, that's what we've got to do. We've got to understand that that's the way it was. The early church was characterized by sharing their homes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then the Bible says, and daily in the temple and from house to house, they ate their meals. Food with singleness of heart. There's the church in its beginning, and they're just spending time with each other. And there's a uniting and a growing of the hearts one with the other. And sometimes individuals say, well, I don't have a whole lot of friends in the church. Well, let me show you one of the ways to make this kind of thing happen. And that is to take whatever God has given you and share it in relationship to them. It may be, let's go to McDonald's. Or let's go to Wendy's. It may be, not an elaborate inviting in of all kinds of people into your house and some grandiose manifestation of how what your home is like and all the rest. But whenever the Bible, two chapters later, says they were of one heart and one soul, and no man said that what he had was his own possession. You understand why that was that way? It's because they spent time with each other. And there's no way on earth that you can know people just inside this building. It just simply cannot happen. Jesus did not just meet people in the synagogue on the Sabbath day so that he could be around people. It was a part of his daily life, and it was a part of the early life of the church. And think about the Apostle Paul. Think about those incidences in the life of Paul. What about the Philippian jailer? When the jailer became a Christian, the very first thing he did was he set food before Paul and Silas. When Paul gets out of prison there, Acts chapter 16, after converting that jailer, Lydia says, if you have judged me faithful, abide in my house. There's the hospitality. And Luke says, and they did that very thing. And then in Acts chapter 20, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That's the Lord's Supper. But after Eutychus falls out of the window and Paul raises him from the dead, guess what happens? They go back up and they eat until daylight. The Bible says that they went up and they ate, and then it says, and when the morning came. That may not mean they ate until daylight, but they really enjoyed. They were sitting around eating with one another. Hospitality is a part of Christianity, and it's a dying part of Christianity. And so we need to understand this. Whatever God has given you, you need to share it with others, and you need to find the joy. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, because there's a joy that is to be found in relationship to that. Now then, having said all of that, I want to take just a moment and to talk about the handout that you received. And so if you'll take that out right now, just so you'll be able to understand. For this month, we're trying to not create a program that would be an ongoing for every program where we just, we're going to assign people to come to people's home and all the rest of that. That's not what this is all about. But it is because this month we're emphasizing the matter of hospitality, we have selected 2 days this month, and that is Friday night, September the 14th, and September the 28th. You may not be able to participate in this particular program because you may not be in town that day. You may already have some obligation. But understand the fact that even though you cannot participate in this Friday night on the 14th or the 28th, does not mean, well, I don't have to be given a hospitality. We need to understand all this is to provide an opportunity for us to be with each other. And hopefully there will grow within us an appreciation and finding the joy of being together. And so those are the 2 days. On this sheet of paper, you need to make sure that you sign your name 4 times. I didn't get that on the slide. It was on my head. It was on some slide that got deleted. But make sure in all 4 squares on this box that you put your name. This will allow us, even though you may not be able to participate, go ahead and put your name there so that if we decide to try to contact everybody, that we'd think, well, I don't know if they've even heard about this because there are a lot of folks who are not here. We need to have your name in all 4 places. It will not do for you to put your name up here and just expect that name to be found at other times. What we're going to do, we're going to cut this up into four sections. And so that's why we need your name in every one of these. Now then, here's what we need. We need homes that will host somebody to come into their home on Friday nights. Here's the agenda. At least for sure on the 14th, and then when we get feedback, we probably will do it also on the 28th. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs. We want to make this just as simple as anybody so that anybody can do this. And so the concept is the host will provide the hamburgers and the hot dogs. Those who come will provide the chips and the baked beans and the drinks and whatever. And so we need to have a lot of homes because I think this will be the more difficult one to do. So we need you on this sheet to say, I will host. Now then, it may be that we'll have far too many homes, and so even though you say, I will host on the 14th, you need also to say, I will visit on the 14th. You understand what I'm saying? If everybody says, I will host on the 14th, then we haven't got anybody to visit. And so we need you to sign both. If you cannot host, we understand that. It may be that your home is not the kind of place where you could use your home to host something like this. But we need you to sign. If you're going to host, we need you also to assign that I will visit, unless there are just some unbelievable circumstances that would keep that from happening. Then we need to know how big your home is. How many people can you have in your home? Now understand, when we're talking about hamburgers and hot dogs, you can sit on the couch and put TV trays around in the living room. Don't just count the number of chairs that you've got you can put around the table. Understand that we're going to do this in an informal way. We don't want to make this a big production where somebody shows what a great cook they are and all, you know, and they can make the best carrot cake of anybody on earth, you know, and it's time for me to display my carrot cake. That's not what it's all about. It has to do with hospitality. And so the host will provide the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and then if you're visiting, then we need to know how many's in your family. So because we don't need to let somebody who's got 4 kids come and somebody else says, I can only have 6 people in my house. Well, that means you just have 1 family, and that's not the design at all. Now then, the name of the program is Guess Who's Coming? You will not know who is coming to your house. It will be at Friday night. We'll probably announce the time. We'll probably close to 6:30 unless there's some... If that's not a convenient time, please give me feedback because we're trying to get a generic kind of program. And you will not have any idea who's coming to your home. When you go to somebody's home, You're obviously going to know which house you're going to go to, but you don't know who's going to be there other than you and the host. So when you arrive there, it'll be a surprise. And so we're calling it, guess who's coming to dinner? And so you will not have any idea who's going to be there. The host will not have any idea who's coming. They'll know how many's coming, but they will not have any idea who's coming. And so at 6:30, all of a sudden everybody's just going to be showing up there at that time. Now then, if you've done that for the 14th, that's Friday night the 14th, then do it again for the 28th. It may be you can only do it the 14th, or it may be you can only do it the 28th. But please sign your name 4 times on this piece of paper. Did I say that? Just to make sure that you heard it. Please sign your name 4 times on this piece of paper, even if you cannot come and even if you cannot participate in that program. We need to, and when you do this, let's just leave that on the pew and then we'll pick these up. How about the junior high and the senior high? We don't have that many teens, but if you young men and young ladies would pick all of these up after services today, I'd really, really appreciate it, and just bring them to me. Well, I hope it works. I'm not sure that it will, but let me tell you the purpose behind it. We are not trying to generate an ongoing program where we just say, well, if you get involved in this, then in October you got to do it, in November you got to do it, in December you got to do it. That's not what it's all about. It is to help us experience the joy of fellowship, the joy of table fellowship. And I promise you that it will be a good experience because it is a part of what, it is a part of godly living and God taking care of us and providing for us. So whatever we have, let's share it with others and be aware of that. And so you'll be hearing from this. It's likely will be a phone call to say, you're supposed to be at so-and-so's house and here's what you need to bring. Bring a dessert or bring drinks or bring chips or baked beans or whatever. We'll work all of those details out. And we'll be those phone calls will likely be made on the Monday before the get together on the Friday. So just be aware of that. And if there's any special information that you need to give, then please you might indicate that on there also. Now we're going to change the direction of this whole lesson and talk about another table, and that is to sitting at the very table of God, to being welcome into heaven's table. You stop and think about what heaven's going to be like, and it surpasses the mind's imagination. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be able to sit at Solomon's table? And what a great spread of food there would have been there at that time and that place. Now imagine the banquet in heaven. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but in a figurative way, imagine sitting around God's table in heaven. What a great, great honor it will be for the Lord to say, come, come in. In fact, the book of Revelation says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him. But whether we're invited to that table is determined by whether we invite him into our table, into our hearts this day. And you do that by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth not shall be damned. And you need to understand that God expects us to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And that we must be baptized in order to sit at his table is found in Acts chapter 22 verse 16 that says, the blood of Jesus washes away our sins when we're baptized. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And now I'm in the family of God, and I have access to His table. I'm in His kingdom, in His body. I'm in the church. I'm a part of what God is doing on this earth. And so the Lord just simply says to me, now as a child of God, you be faithful until the day that you die. Where are you headed right now? If you were to die right now, would the Lord invite you into His table? Would you be able to sit around that table forever and ever? If not, you need to make some changes, and you need to indicate those changes are being made by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?